have a discuss. I discussed. I have discovered. I know what I was trying to say, and this is thanks to our fellow co-host Long. Long, if he was on the show today, he would be like, "Oh my god, I can't believe you're bringing that up, Mark." But I'm going to bring it up. You know, he always sends us links through Reddit, right? And and I sometimes I hit him and I don't pay too much attention to him. But I decided to explore Reddit a little bit. And this is, I know the app's been around a while, but it's something I've never really gotten hardcore into using. And by gosh, it's quite the place for adult material.
Definitely.
I mean, anime MILFs, anyone? I mean, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. and I was just like, wow, this is, you know, and I'm old, nothing, you know, phases me. I've seen it all. I can appreciate some good adult material, but man, Reddit certainly has it happening. And, I'm fine with that. I'm happy I discovered it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And, I'm sure.
I'm trying not to sound like a perv, you know, but hey,
yeah,
I'm a single man. You know, I can enjoy those. I can indulge.
Yeah, you discovered fire, you know.
And now that I chose to go that route and completely derailed the show in the first minute talking about Reddit porn, I didn't, you know, I just wanted people to share my recent discovery this week. That's all, you know. And in case they don't know, just go enjoy.
Well, you know what? There's a you know, my Jackie was watching this show called, like, it was like Working Moms, I think it is. It was like a show on Netflix. You know, I can't think of his name right now because I'm you know, just trying to shoot from the hip right here. Yeah, the Ghostbusters director, his daughter, you know, is in that series. And she's talking about how she loves watching hentai. And they're like, what's that? And she's like, it's like Japanese porn, but it's so crazy. And she's like, you know, it could be like an overweight bus driver. And the one of the female passengers is like yelling at him. And then he just stops the bus and they have sex. And she's just describing this, like, you know, and you're like, yeah, you know what? That's probably happened before. I probably, you know, probably come across something right. like that.
In the words of our friend of the show, Rob, tentacles probably come out.
Tentacle porn. Yeah. There are definitely some tentacles in there somewhere. Man. Where they came from, no one knows.
I mean, you know, you get to a certain age in life and you're just like, fuck it, man. I want to see some weird shit and some weird shit. You know, it's like.
Yeah. Whatever. Even if you're like. Huh, this is weird. You just can't turn away.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, no. What's going to happen next?
I have my boundaries. I don't want to see two girls in a cup. You know, that's nah. No, I'm good. Yeah, I don't need to see that. That was gross. But, you know, I mean, want to see some tentacles coming out and some multiple nipples and things, you know? I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah, why not?
And you are tuned into the Rebel Radio podcast. We assure you, we are not turning into a hentai porn podcast, but you know, sometimes you got to have a little sense of humor, a little bit of fun, and
that's right.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say it's changed my life this week, but it's refreshed things. Let's just say
refreshing.
Yes, sometimes it's good to have refreshing, strange things to look at.
Might like be a Mentos commercial, but in real life, happening on Reddit.
Exactly. It's an interesting app. I don't understand quite how it all works, like subreddits and all that stuff, but I can find some good stuff on it. That's all I know. I mean, apparently there's all kinds of things on there about how to hack video games and all sorts of shit. It's quite the platform.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, there's one for all kinds of stuff on there.
You know, I mean, with the Twitter being in a flux lately with the Elon Musk stuff, it's like, yeah, need some new platforms, you know, and it's fine. It's social media. It's there. You use it, embrace it, watch porn on it. That's what it's there.
There you go.
And how are you today, Matt?
That and cats. I'm good, man. Yeah, I'm good. I'm, you know, it's been a chill week, I will say, an uneventful-ish week, you know, and sometimes you need those.
Oh, certainly. I mean, it was, we'll get to it later in the news. It was quite eventful yesterday as far as all the massive amount of trailers that suddenly hit from a Comic-Con down in Brazil, which seems like the most odd place for all this stuff to debut, but it was awesome, and we'll get to that later. But yeah, it was just kind of a chill week. I mean, I'm still just as tired at the end of the week as I would be any other week, but you know, that's just the way, nature of the business. And but yeah, it wasn't too bad of a week. You know, kids went back to school, and they're all off schedule every night, not wanting to go to sleep. And I'm like, go to sleep, you little heathens.
You heathens. It's like, go to bed, finally.
Yeah, because I had things
to watch. Aren't you tired?
Yes, because I had an almost three-hour movie to watch and plus other things to watch. I'm like, y'all go to bed so Dad can watch adult stuff. And I don't mean anti-porn, just adult things.
Adult things, man.
But I think that's a good lead-in to download this, where we tell people what we watched, stream, checked out. And, man, I guess I'll go first. I think you went first last week. I don't know. Maybe you didn't. Who knows? But I'm going first. Fuck you. first. I just finished this an hour ago before we got ready to sit down and record. And man, I blew through all of Netflix's Wednesday this week. Man, this is a show that wasn't even on my radar. I knew they were making it, and I knew it was produced by Tim Burton, and he directed some episodes. But I'm not really like an Addams Family fan. Like, I appreciate it for what it is. I'm well aware of what it is in pop culture. It's been around for a long time. And, but I don't hate it either. I'm just kind of, I saw the movies that came out in the 90s, and I've seen the original TV show, kind of just a casual fan, you know? And, but there was a small bit of buzz last Wednesday when it hit, you know, Thanksgiving came and people were eating their turkey and stuff. But it seems like as the weekend came, the buzz on the show started really hitting because people had a chance to watch it. People were so busy when it came out Wednesday and Thursday that I don't think much people said anything. I was like, you know, I'm gonna give the show a shot. And, it was instantly hooked. It's, really well done. Really good. Jennifer Ortega is amazing as Wednesday. She's really good in the show. I can't recommend it enough because I went to the show
been with popping up everywhere.
Yeah. I went to the show with no expectations, and it blew me away how good it was. It's, if you like Stranger Things, you're going to like it. Cause it's one of those, it's again, one of those shows that's designed. We're getting a lot of these shows kind of right now, and they're not all good and they're not all bad. But like, they're just teenager enough for the teenagers to enjoy it, but then they're just adult enough for the adults to enjoy it, which is a good mix. And Wednesday does a good job of finding that mix for the teenagers and for the adults. A little bit of gore in it, but nothing that the kids can't watch. You know, it doesn't take itself. It's not like horror gore. It's more done, you know, PG-13 style gore. But it's, man, it's really good. I highly recommend, if you're on the fence about it, to give it a watch, because it really took me by surprise and how much I enjoyed it. And by the time the 8 episodes were done, I was like, well, that's it. Cause I'm sure it'll get more. It's been a huge hit for Netflix in its first week. Surely they'll renew it. It tells a nice story. If they don't tell more, it tells a complete story, which is cool. I mean, there is a little, Easter egg at the end that could lead to, it's Easter egg, but a little plot point thrown at you at the end of it, if they were to make more. But also, it tells a complete story in 8 episodes, which was nice. Definitely recommend it, man. It's a good take on the Addams Family, and very different from things we've seen before. I really really thought it was well done. And I'm trying to think. I know I watched a movie Recover today. I'm trying to think if I watched anything else this week. I think I was kind of stuck on that show all week. It seems like that's all I really watched.
And, yeah, Ortega, man, she did Scream earlier this year. She was in X, came out this year, and then, you know, now she's in this, man. It's she's gonna start popping up everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And the great thing about her is and this is non-spoiler too, because everyone knows the character Wednesday Addams is a emotionalist, kind of
sadistic, so, yeah. Dark humor,
and she, Ortega, plays her to the T, but also, as the story goes, she's able to express a certain amount of emotion that the character is allowed, and she pulls it off fantastic. There's a couple of, I mean, just towards, especially in the finale of the show, there's a moment there where you're like, wow, that's it. She's really well acted. She does a good job with it.
Nice.
And so, you know, definitely recommend it. And I think, man, I feel like I watched something, but I just can't recall. I mean, you know, of course, every Sunday night I watch Yellowstone, and man, that show, all you bandwagoners that ain't jumped on it, man, I'm telling you, you're missing one of the better shows ever to be put on television in the last few years. Good stuff, man, on Yellowstone.
You know, I think some people may feel, and I feel this way sometimes, I'm like, man, I'm so far behind. You know, it's like whenever you start a race, but then, you know, you see someone like 5 miles ahead of you and you're like, I want to catch up to that guy. I want to have the conversations those guys are having.
Think about this. So a year ago, I had not watched any of it. Now I'm all caught up. So, you know, it's, if you have Peacock, it's only the first four seasons, only like 40 episodes. I mean, there are only 10 episodes a season. So it goes pretty fast.
Okay.
So you think about it from that perspective, it goes pretty quick. I mean,
okay.
You know, if you can blow through 100 episodes of My Hero Academia in a few days, you can blow through 40 episodes of Yellowstone.
That's true.
So, and it's so
well. How long are the episodes? Like 30 minutes?
45 minutes to an hour, you know, and then I think the first, the premiere episodes of each season might be longer, you know, but
yeah,
better than that. Yeah. But, okay. But it's really good. It's really well acted and just really well written. I'm really looking forward to his, the 1923 prequel coming on Paramount Plus here in a few weeks. I actually don't have Paramount Plus right now, but I'm going to turn mine back on come December 18th to watch Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren in the 1923 Yellowstone prequel. I think that's going to be good television because the first prequel, 1883, was that. Me, if you have Paramount Plus right now,
with Sam Elliott, yeah,
you can watch it and not have to watch Yellowstone. And I'm telling you, 1883 is 10 of the best hours of television you'll ever fucking watch. It is that good.
That first episode with the Indian attack.
That's right. You started watching it, huh?
I started it. I just never finished it. It's really good.
It's really really good. I mean, definitely you got to try to go back and finish it. Man, if I think about watching anything else, I'll say in a minute. What did you check out this week, Matt?
I didn't check out much. I'm kind of like you. I definitely watched. There's something that I know I watched that I can't pinpoint, but I did watch the first episode of Willow.
See, I've been meaning to get to that. I just haven't had a chance to yet.
Well, you know, I thought it and we didn't mention this last week, but the day that we released Willow, it was available in a few theaters here. They did a special screening. They re-released into theaters for one day for one showing at a few theaters. I thought I would have been able to catch that. I didn't. It would have been cool to see that on the big screen. Didn't happen. But I watched the first episode. I like the new villains. I like the mystery of the prologue that they had on there. Of course, there's some new age stuff on there. There's, you know, I'll wait till you see it, Mark. We'll talk about it. Just some common themes. You know,
I've heard they do play up the family element very well though.
They do play up the family element very well. I like the brother and sister, dialogue. It's pretty cool. You know, I don't have a problem with the acting.
I don't know if I read this wrong, but I heard like Willow in the first episode doesn't even show up to almost the end of the episode. That it's more introducing the other characters. Yeah.
Yeah. Introducing the new characters. And then you've got to look at Willow.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah. I'm definitely going to watch it. I just forgot. I didn't forget, but I think just since Wednesday when it came out, just I've had a chance to sit down and watch it. Because I had an adventure watching this week's film.
An adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to watch it in pieces. I started it and then maybe watched 45 minutes. And then I went to go start it again. I fell asleep on the couch and I had to remember where I ended the first time.
Right.
Well, but yeah, we can get into that.
I couldn't find my DVD because, you know, they're still packed boxes from the move. And so I turned on my Sling TV and it's on demand on AMC Plus. I was like, okay, well, that's great. This is Wednesday night. So I started watching it on AMC on demand. And I did the same thing. I watched about an hour and 10 minutes. And I was like, I'm going to go to bed and finish it tomorrow. So I get up. Well, not get up. Yesterday night, after I got the kids to bed, I'm like, I'm going to sit down and finish the last hour and 15 minutes of the movie. Because, you know, this movie's about 2.5 hours long. And so I forgot what was yesterday, December 1st. The networks changed. All of a sudden, it's not available on AMC on demand. I'm like, motherfucker. No. I got lucky, though. It's on live at 9 o'clock last night on a Paramount network.
Wow.
So I turned it on. It wasn't but 10 minutes past where I left it off. And I kind of knew what happened those 10 minutes anyway. So I just finished watching on Paramount Plus last night.
Got lucky.
And I would have dug for my DVD because I didn't want to pay to rent it because I know I own the fucking movie. I just can't find my DVD.
But sometimes I do that if it's on sale.
But we are talking, this week's featured film is from Frank Darabont, starring Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman, and it is The Shawshank Redemption, a movie that did not do well at the box office, strangely, because it came out with some tough competition at the time.
Yep.
But it got re-released like later in the year during the, as they built up an Oscar buzz for it. It made a good amount of money during its re-release. So it did better its little second run of the box office. And, but over the years, this movie has found I wouldn't even call it a cult classic, because I think it's more of a modern classic, because people realize what they missed out on and how good the film is. It was nominated for several Oscars. Unfortunately, it didn't win. This is one of those that,
Did win an Academy Award.
Yeah. For Best Picture. Yeah. I did win for something. And no disrespect to Forrest Gump, which is a great movie. But out of the three movies that could have won that year, Pulp Fiction, Forrest Gump, and Shawshank Redemption, I hate to say it, but this is the best of those three movies. And so it's one of those Oscar things. You're like, wow, how did the Shawshank Redemption not win Best Picture? But Tom Hanks, Hollywood's golden boy, Forrest Gump made a lot of money. We understand why it won Best Picture. So you can kind of get it from that perspective. But if you're being true to yourself as a film fan, this is a better movie. I mean, it's an amazing film. And, to summarize it, basically, this banker, Andy, is sent to trial for the murder of his wife and her lover. And he's found guilty, and he's sentenced to two life sentences in 1947 in the Shawshank prison. And while in there, he befriends a man named Red, played by Morgan Freeman. And a series of adventures happen in the prison. He's raped by what they call the sisters, So he learns how to live his new life in this prison through trials and tribulations of whether it's being raped or being mistreated by the warden and his men. And he gets put in solitary confinement a lot, but he also finds a way to fit in by befriending Red and by using his banking skills to help one of the police officers that are in there with him and eventually help the warden, or so he thinks. But we find out, of course, that the warden is corrupted. He's laundering all this money to his own needs. And meanwhile, all this is going on, Andy is hatching his own plan to escape from Shawshank. And he doesn't tell anybody, even Red, even though he plants the clues there for Red to know, but Red didn't really realize it. And when Andy eventually escapes and he reveals he created this whole identity for himself by doing the paperwork for the warden. And he escapes with this identity. He laundered the warden's own money to himself, which was a genius thing because he's a banker and knows how to do it. And he gets out and he goes to the bank. He withdraws all this money, sends a note to the newspaper that the warden was corrupt. And they go into Shawshank and they invade it. The feds do. And the warden takes his own life and Andy escapes. And when Red gets out on parole, he follows the path that Andy left him to meet back up with him. And the movie ends with a wonderful scene where their friendship is reunited. And I summarized that movie very quickly and very briefly, but this is it's a complex film in a lot of ways to really summarize it. Because it's not just, I think people dismissed this movie when it came out because they thought it was a prison film and it is a prison film, but it's much more than that. It's a movie about the journey of two men and the friendship that develops between them, even in the face of almost impossible odds. They're serving these sentences, thinking they're never going to get out. Andy always holds on to hope, even though Red tells him hope is a dangerous thing, but Andy never gave up. And so it's about their journey going through this the film takes place over about 25 years, if I remember correctly or so. Yeah. And so it was the first time you ever saw this straight through, Matt. You'd only seen parts of it. And I'm anxious to see what you think, because I don't know anyone ever that doesn't like this movie.
Well, what's fun, I like to see what other people think about it. And I saw a lot of second watches where people were like, I first saw this film, I couldn't finish it. I didn't like it. I thought it was boring. And then they watch it 10, 15 years later and they're like, wow, this was a good movie that I just kind of let sit and, over by the wayside all these years. And I have to agree. It's a good movie. And I think you hit it right on the head when you said it's a movie about friendship. It really is a movie about friendship. You start the movie, you think it's about Andy, and you think it's about his journey. But lo and behold, as you hear from the narrator, you've got Morgan Freeman in the story too. So you're like, how does he fit in? And really it's about everybody and everybody's journey. You've got Brooks and Brooks's issue with being institutionalized and, you know, he ends up killing himself because he just can't, function in the real world. You've got Red, who's trying to get parole, and he's also
afraid of the outside world too. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you've got the warden, who's this big hypocrite, says he's a man of God, and he doesn't like things inmates to be sacrilegious or anything like that. Yet he'll let his guards beat the shit out of people.
Or let the sissies sodomize people. Yeah.
Yeah, he kills Tommy, so that Andy can't get out. And Andy, you think he did it this whole, through the whole time, but he's really a good guy. He knows the Bible better than just as good as the warden. And, he practices it. He talks Brooks out of killing, Haywood, played by, William Sadler. Mm-hmm. And, he helps everybody in that prison,
tries to help pass their
GD. Yeah. And he's just, you're like, man, how could this guy do it? And then of course you find out he's innocent. Tommy has the proof and Warden has him killed. And that's just, it's also a story about what goes around comes around. That's another theme. Man, the warden really does get it. I mean, he gets told on, and it's just sweet justice. He's screwing over Andy. He's screwing over the state, and it all blows up in his face and, his corrupt ass. And then, you got the great Clancy Brown in there. That's the part I remember in the movie where he's like trying to throw, Tim Robbins' character over the friggin' building.
Yeah.
But he uses his knowledge to get the guy's beers. Says, "Hey, man feels like he's a man after a hard day's work when he has a beer. How about giving me and my boys three each?" And man, he gets that's one way to gain everyone's friendship. Get them beer, free beer. they do it in the Olympics all the time. Canadians, they've got moose head, and they swap with the Mexico team. They'll swap for their beer. And, I heard stories about that before. So, beer, it brings everybody together. In short, I know I've talked a lot, about not what you've asked me, but it's a movie with a lot of themes. It's very interesting. It's a very good story. And you feel good for Andy. You feel like, he did what he had to do. He deserves to be free. And, that $370,000 that he got is good severance for him.
Well, and it goes back to the title of the Shawshank Redemption. I mean, you feel like as an audience member, you're watching this, that you feel like you're going through this redemption with him, because I think that's what's so good is the story draws you in. It's like watching a good book, and we should note it is based on one of Stephen King's short novels. Obviously one of his non-horror novels, and it's arguably his best adapted work on screen of anything that he's written. And, they change a few things. Like the character Red was actually an Irishman, but, Frank Darabont was set on Morgan Freeman playing the part. That's what he wanted from the beginning. So that's why they make the joke in the movie about him being Irish. It's purposely done to kind of tease about the book. And, and you feel like you're being redeemed with these characters, because that's what a good book does. It draws you in. This movie draws you in. It's well shot by Frank Darabont and his crew. It's extremely well acted across the board. From Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman to the warden just being this pure evil villain that you want to see pain to all the supporting characters. They all do their job really well in the movie. And I think that's what brings us all together as an audience member. You go on the journey with these characters, and about halfway through the movie, you forget it even takes place in a prison, especially after the sisters are dealt with. From that point on, it really feels like, doesn't feel like a prison movie anymore. It feels more like about the story of Annie and Red and how they're going to, where they're going to end up by the end of the film.
Yeah. And, it's cool that they meet together. That's a real sweet part. You know, mm-hmm. he gets out there and he follows the clues and he's like, you know, finds the box with money in it. He's like, I'm assuming since you've made it this far, you'd be willing to go a little further. Mm-hmm. And, he crosses the border, disobeys his parole and finds Andy on that beach.
Yeah. And then you find yourself as a viewer, like, man, I want to know what's going to happen next. I want to see them get in that boat and have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just the power of the story, but it's also an extremely satisfying ending to this film. I mean, it's one of those movies that you feel like being a prison film, that it's going to be dark and end, you know, very miserably, but it doesn't. It ends on a high note. I mean, there's still some sadness to it. Andy had to lose his wife throughout all this and 25 years of his life, but it's not so much, I don't even know if happy is the right word. It's that hope that Andy hang on to was there at the end of the film. You know, that hope for a future and to still have life outside of the prison that he told Red was possible.
Yeah. And, man, you see the beginning of the film and you're like, man, this guy's got to be guilty. Like, right. We've got tire tracks. We've got his liquor bottle. We've got, you know, bullets to a 38 special, which he claims he threw his in the river. And you're like, he did it. You know, he's drinking. He's pissed off because his wife cheated on him. They had a heated argument. Man, it's all coming together. It's painting the picture has been painted. And really, you find out it's a disgruntled country club employee that decided he was going to shoot both of them up.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to go back to, like you said, people, it's one of those movies that people watch when they were younger and then they come back to. And, you know, it's fair to say that it's a movie for adults, you know, and maybe it's not meant to be watched when you're in your teens or your early 20s. It's something you appreciate as you get older. And this goes back to a time when there was a lot of cinema like that, you know. Now, you know, and I enjoy all the stuff we're getting now. I love all the comic book movies and Marvel and stuff like that. But, you know, Hollywood does seem to kind of be getting away from this more just adult films. And I don't mean adult as far as violence or radar, just grown up stories, you know? And there's still some out there, but it just doesn't seem like there's as many of these stories just telling a good story on screen and embracing yourself or entangling yourself in that story. And every time I watch this movie, I love it. I think it's a fantastic film, and I want to go back to. I still can't believe this. There's two movies of all time that I still can't believe did not win Best Picture, and that's this one, and then of course Saving Private Ryan in 98, how it did not win over Shakespeare in Love. But you know, I enjoy Forrest Gump too, and Pulp Fiction we just did a few weeks ago, and it's a great movie too. But man, this is such an incredible film that. You almost feel like, how did this not win? It's one that you'll look up and you're like, whoa, this didn't win Best Picture. And I was talking to a guy at work about this, and he said, well, he read an article where someone called Shawshank Redemption an Oscar bait movie, which means like it's really good, but on the surface, just Oscar bait. It's not good enough to be an Oscar. And I'm like, I call bullshit to that because there's no way. I mean, this is a great film. You know, what do you think about that? Just –
No,
popularity, I think it's popularity of Tom Hanks, most likely.
Probably. I mean, and you had a Forrest Gump. Was that
Robert Zemeckis?
Zemeckis. Yeah. So you had a big name behind the film too. You had two golden boys really in that movie, and Stephen King, you know, he had some popularity. What, Stand By Me was probably done by then.
Yeah.
I believe
that was mid-80s. Almost 10 years before this.
Yeah. So you've got a bigger name behind it, and it's going to get more attention. You know, sometimes, you know, certain films are just the favorite. You know, and maybe that's what happened. I don't think, you know, they lost to a bad film, you know, but some are more deserving than others, and, right. And Shawshank definitely has everything and all the pedigree it needed to beat out Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and I'm glad we you know, this is a movie that I'm glad we covered. We had talked about doing this a while back, and you know, I did enjoy rewatching this week. And I mean, it's one of those movies that, like, if it's on TV, I'll stop and watch it sometimes, or watch parts of it, because it's just that good of a film. And it's one of those movies too that you bring up in conversations to people. And now that you've seen it, Matt, you can do that too, and you'll find that most people really like this film. My mom even likes this film, and she told me, I remember it was a few years back, she told me, she goes, "Have you ever heard of a movie called Shawshank Redemption?" I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "I watched that," and she's like, "It's really good." I'm like, "Yeah, it's a great movie." And
that's great.
So if my mom is watching the Shawshank Redemption, it's doing something right, you know. And we didn't even talk about how good is Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman in this, man. I mean, Morgan Freeman is always really great and stuff, but Tim Robbins, the way he plays Andy, just kind of calm, cool, collective. Even when he's going through, whether he's getting sodomized by the sisters or he's put in solitary confinement, he never breaks. And Red is worried about him, thinking he's going to break, you know, when he asks for the rope there towards the end of the film and all that. But man, what kind of strong-willed son of a bitch is Andy? You know, because he has nothing to go back to. I mean, he lost his wife. But yet he's still so determined to get out of that place. And it's incredible that he's able to do this.
He stayed focused, you know, and he even mentions how he misses his wife and he feels guilty. And he feels like he was the one that you know, pushed her to even be with that other person, the pro golf player, which we didn't even mention. It's she cheated on him with a pro golf player. Mm-hmm. And you know, you could tell he's hurting over it. He blames himself because he feels like he pushed her into that situation. So he's pretty remorseful, and you're just like, man, you know, this guy doesn't deserve to be where he is.
No.
You know, you feel for him, and but you're also like, man, you know, those people that were there at that prison needed him there. You know, he made everyone's life better, you know, and you know, Haywood even got to listen to Hank Williams.
Yeah. I really like the part where he plays music on the intercom and he gets in trouble for it, but it was worth it, 'cause he just did so much for those guys in that prison, because it made them feel just alive for a few minutes.
Yeah, show them that there's something other than just concrete walls around them, I think, is what he kind of said or alluded to.
Yeah.
That there was something beautiful outside of those walls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he even talks about it. And and I think that's a good way to describe this picture. I don't know if beautiful is the correct word to describe this movie, because it's shot in grays and blues, and it's a dark film at times, but it's a film about hope, and it gives you hope, and and the friendship that Andy and Red develop is a beautiful thing throughout the film, especially the shot at the end of the film. Just one of the great classic shots in cinema, where you see Red walking up to Andy just smiling, and as an audience member, you're just smiling, 'cause you know, they made it and they're going to be all right after that. And I'm glad, man, we did this and you watched it straight through, because I knew you'd appreciate this film, because it's just remarkably done. We've said this before on the show. This is one of those movies that if you don't like Shawshank Redemption, I would have to question what you think is good cinema.
You know? Yeah.
I mean,
If you don't see at least one of the great themes in this film.
Yeah. Cold-blooded,
you're blind.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. And you're cold-blooded too.
I was a ranked this movie. It's easily an A+. I mean, it's
easily
one of the greatest films. A lot of people consider this one of the greatest films of all time. A lot of people have this. We talked about the preview at the end of last week's episode. A lot of people find this to be, you know, in their top tens. I think I certainly could put it in my top 10 dramas of all time. You know,
at one point, to your point, IMDb, who is, a lot of those ratings are done by critics. They had it listed at one point as the greatest film, their highest film rated of all time.
Yeah.
So I know it's between that one, and there's ones that pop up there all the time. I mean, Wizard of Oz pops up there a lot. But you know, Shawshank, you know, that speaks volumes to.
I mean, if I completely take out Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, you know, any of the genres I love, and I'm thinking straight dramas, yeah, I could easily this, is right up there. Top two or three movies ever, along with Saving Private Ryan, probably Pulp Fiction. You know, some of the best movies that have ever been made, you know?
Yeah, actually it's still their number one. Top 250 movies as rated by regular IMDb voters. The Shawshank Redemption is number one. Yeah. The Godfather is number two. Dark Knight is number three. Godfather Part Two is number four. And lastly, I'll do the top five, 12 Angry Men.
The original black and white.
The original black and white. That's one. That's a good 1957.
Movie. Yeah. I've never made it through the Godfather films. I've tried.
We have done in the top 10 of IMDb, we have done 1, 2, 3, 4, and we're 5, 6. We've done 6 of their top 10 movies.
What were the other ones we've done?
Godfather.
No, we haven't done Godfather.
Yeah, 12 Angry Men. Oh, the ones we have done. Dark Knight, Shawshank Redemption, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. That's number 7. Pulp Fiction is number 8. Number 9 is Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. And number 10, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. So that's at 8.8.
See, it's an 8.8 rating. We know what we're doing with the Rebel Radio Podcast.
We know our shit, man.
Movies, man.
If you're listening to us, you're on the right track. Just keep listening. We're going to keep you there. You're going to make it to that beach. I'm going to caveat into this. You're going to follow those clues. You're going to follow those stones. You're going to unearth those stones, find our episodes, and you're going to make it to that beach, baby. Because if you've made it this far, you'd be willing to go a little bit further.
Damn straight.
How about that? Damn straight.
And on that note, let's talk some news. There's a lot of trailers to talk about. I want to dive into these. The only non-trailer news that I have is that, if you didn't hear, Mandalorian Season 3 will be out on March 1st on Disney Plus. So a little bit longer to wait for the Mandalorian Season 3. But the other than that, it's all trailers. And we're going to save the best trailer for last. We're going to start with our first look at Transformers Rise of the Beast. I knew this movie was coming, but I was a little surprised all of a sudden we got a trailer. And, you know, my first thought was, as soon as I saw Optimus Prime on screen, I was sold. I was like, hell yeah. You know, the Beast Wars came out in the 90s. You know, it was good Transformer stuff. It tied in with Generation 1. And I just thought it was badass seeing Optimus Prime on screen. I thought it looked cool. It looks like it's going to be better than the last night was. From what I'm understanding about this, it's kind of it's in the same universe as the Bumblebee film, but also in the same universe as the originals. But I think it's more of a sequel to the Bumblebee film from what I was reading. So it looks pretty cool, man. Michael Bay's not directing. He's only producing it. So, you know, even though it still had a Michael Bay look to it, to be fair, but whatever. Yeah. You know, I'm tired of trashing Michael Bay. I'm old enough now that I can go to a movie and just enjoy it for what it is. And I think it looks kind of cool.
If you're going to have a movie with explosions in it, you need Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And giant Transformer robots.
And I grew up, this was the first Transformer series I saw. Mm-hmm. You had the Gen 1s, the Generation 1. This was my Generation 1. I saw this, you know, I saw Starscream as a Raptor. I saw Optimus as the Gorilla, Ironhide as the Rhino, and so forth. I can't wait to watch this film. I it looks great. I don't think I've ever been so hyped to see one. And it's because it's tugging at my childhood, man.
Yeah. And the incomparable Peter Cullen's back to voice Optimus and,
Optimus Prime.
You have a feeling that Megatron's in there somewhere. They just are saving him, didn't show him in the trailer, which is fine.
Have to be. Yeah.
And, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. The second trailer we're going to discuss is going to tug on our childhood some more. And that's the new trailer for the Super Mario Brothers movie. You know, a lot's been said about Chris Pratt's voice, blah, 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 blah. I don't fucking care, honestly. First off, this is a video game character, people. It's a video game character with a made-up voice. Yeah, they're supposed to be Italian, but it's not that big of a deal if Chris Pratt is not spot-on soprano Italian. You know, whatever. I mean, it's like, it's okay to be a little different. And it looks like from the couple lines he has in the trailer, they tried to fix the voice a little bit. But again, I just don't care. The movie looks like a lot of fun. It looks adorable. It's a fantastic IP that deserves to have a great film made about it. And I'm pretty excited to see the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Same here, man. Let's just have fun. Go to the theater, watch it, and have fun. Quit thinking about it. I think we think too much about films. We let other voices influence our experience, and just go there and watch it like you would. You know, pretend you're not triggered by anything anymore. Right. Like, you know, like it's the 90s again, yeah. Pre-cell phone, you know, and let's just go check it out.
You know, it's coming from Illumination Entertainment. It's made the Despicable Me films, and, you know, Nintendo handpicked them. They're very careful with their property. They handpicked them to do this and to work with them. And I trust the people at Nintendo that they're going to make a good Mario Brothers movie with Illumination Entertainment. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. The next big trailer we got, well, we got a couple of trailers from Marvel Studios. The first one, it's a legacy trailer for Ant-Man. To me, it just kind of tied the other Ant-Man films and his journey together with a little bit of new footage towards the end of the trailer. Nothing much really that we hadn't already seen. But the big trailer we got, it's funny because all these trailers came out at the Brazil Comic Con, which was people kind of knew these trailers were going to come out before Avatar next week. But I don't think we expect them at this Brazil Comic Con, but it's fine that we got them. And we got our first look at Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. This trailer didn't hype me as much as I was hoping it would, because I hate to be negative, but it just looks like more of the same. It was cool to see Adam Warlock on screen. That was badass. I wish they would not show Gamora. I get tired of Marvel. Like when Marvel Studios has a bad habit of showing reveals in their trailers. We know that they're going to go look for Gamora, but man, do you have to show her in the trailer? You know what I mean? It's I save it for whenever we actually see her on in the film. So that was a little disappointing. I don't know. The trailer had like this weird, like, I don't know, like this, I don't know the way it was shot or the CGI. It had like this kind of glaze over it. Does that make sense when I was watching it?
like a donut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it looks fun. I'm definitely there for it. I enjoyed the first two Guardians films and the holiday special was fun. So I'm still going to watch it. I just felt like the trailer just didn't blow me away. But you know, back when the first Guardians movie came out, the trailer didn't blow me away. Then I ended up loving the movie. So that's kind of the way I feel about it. Maybe James Gunn is one of those directors that just can't cut great trailers, you know, but then the movie's
coming out. Maybe so.
You know?
Yeah, it definitely looks fun. That's what I took from it. It looks fun. It looks like more of the same, to your point, but I also know that those films, I have a lot of fun watching them. Obviously the first one's the best. There's some things that I like in the second one. Like whenever, like the David Hasselhoff thing where I used to carry around a picture of David Hasselhoff and say that he was my dad and he was just out filming. And then, his dad turns into, David Hasselhoff and you get a David Hasselhoff cameo. I'm like, this is friggin' hilarious. And then David Hasselhoff sings the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 theme. It's just hilarious. James Gunn, he knows what he's doing. I think we're at least at very minimum going to be entertained, and always cool.
Let me ask: did it look to you like they changed the makeup process on Drax?
Yes,
it looks fake almost. Like when they put the makeup directly on him, it was David Bautista's body. It looked real. Now it almost looks like I think he's wearing more prosthetics now.
Probably, and then he's wearing the vest. I wonder if he gained a little weight or something. Maybe he didn't
get that in the holiday special. I was like, Drax doesn't look right, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't the only one who thought that. So that should be fun. A lot of people think that there's a scene in the trailer. People think Rocket's going to die. So we'll see.
Yeah, maybe. Someone's going to, that's for sure.
It's supposed to be their final film with this crew, you know, and so we'll see how that plays out. And the my favorite trailer of the day yesterday when all these trailers came out, and I've watched this several times, and we finally got our first look at the new film from James Mangold, the new Indiana Jones film, and the title that was rumored to be last week turned out to be true. So we got our first trailer of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. And first off, people are already complaining about this title. Which blows my mind. You haven't even seen the movie. How you don't know what the context of the title is. Why is it blowing? Why, you know, just let it be. It's and go enjoy it. There's a lot of rumor that it has to do with time travel, which also has people upset. Like, oh, the aliens didn't work in Kingdom Crystal Skull. You're going to do time travel in Indiana Jones? Wait and see, people. Because to me, the trailer was a hell of a lot of fun. I've watched it several times. The de-aged Indiana Jones looks amazing. I mean, it really looks fucking good. There's only one shot in the trailer where he's on the CGI horse and he jumps. It looks a little fake, but the movie doesn't come out until next June. They can fix that. You know, maybe, but just hearing the theme song again, seeing Harrison's gruff voice, seeing Sala on screen again, it just all, I smiled like a fucking kid, Matt, watching this trailer. I mean, that was just so exciting to see.
Yeah, no, it looks fun. And it looks like an indie film. But you know, I do feel like I'm that bricked Hamlin in the middle of the room and Anchorman. I don't know what we're yelling about, you know, and like, why are you yelling about, you know, a trailer that of this, you know, anticipated movie that's obviously looks fun over, three words, you know, that's my perspective. You're, you know, outraged over three words, or up in arms over three words. And just you know, I mean, enjoy the trailer and watch the movie.
To me, Dial of Destiny can mean so much. I think it's a great, intriguing title. You know, it's wonderful. You know, I also love the line in the trailer where, you know, he says, "I've seen a lot of things, and I don't know what I believe anymore. But all I know is it depends on how hard you believe." I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but what a great line of dialogue just in a trailer. You know, And it's fantastic. I mean, I can't wait for this movie. I'm a huge fan of that franchise. I'm maybe one of the few people that don't really have that many problems with Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. It is what it is. I'm fine with it. I mean, it's not my favorite indie movie, of course, but it is what it is. So I'm really looking forward to June 30th of next year to go see this. You know, I haven't gone to a movie on opening Thursday or Friday night in quite a while, but Indiana Jones might break that streak. Because I want to see this fast.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna be at the beach house that week. I'm gonna have to try and see if I can go see it. I'm gonna have to go drive to that IMAX theater over by Moody Gardens and go check it out. I guess because I can't miss that. I know we're gonna be talking about that soon.
Yeah,
after it comes out.
Can't wait, man! I really can't wait. It might be. In fact, it's such a big film. It could be our feature film that week when it comes out.
Easily.
But that's it, man. All the trailers this week, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, June 30th, 2023 in theaters. And I'm sure if you go see Avatar Way of the Water next week, you'll see all these trailers on the big screen. And wow, what a perfect segue into a preview of next week's film. And I will just go out and say it. And we are going to cover next week, James Cameron's number one film of all time worldwide, number two domestically since it fell behind Star Wars Force Awakens, and that is Avatar.
You Jake Sully?
I'd like to talk to you about a fresh start on a new world. You'd be making a difference.
I became a Marine for the hardship. I told myself I can pass any test a man can pass. All I ever wanted was a single thing worth fighting for.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are not in Kansas anymore. You are on Pandora.
You should see your faces.
We have an indigenous population called the Na'vi. They are very hard to kill.
This is why we're here. Because this little gray rock sells for 20 million a kilo. Their village happens to be resting on the richest deposit, and they need to relocate. Those savages are threatening our whole operation. We're on the brink of war, and you're supposed to be finding a diplomatic solution.
The concept is to drive these remotely controlled bodies called avatars. They're grown from human DNA mixed with DNA of the natives.
Marine in an avatar body. That's a potent mix.
You get me what I need, I'll see to it you get your legs, babe. Your real legs.
Hell yeah, sir.
Looks like you. This is your avatar.
Just relax and let your mind go blank. That shouldn't be hard for you.
Jake, it's real simple.
I want you to learn from the inside. I want you to gain their trust.
You should not be here. Go back. All this is your fault.
I need your help.
Lost in the woods, have you?
Did you forget what team you're playing for?
Strong prey on the weak, and nobody does a thing.
You got 1 hour.
You knew this would happen?
Everything changed.
Jake, it's crazy here. Quaritch is rolling, and there's no stopping him.
We're going up against gunships with bows and arrows.
Well, I guess we better stop him.
Send us a message that they can take whatever they want. But we will send them a message
that this is our land.
Oh man, this is a movie that I watch it and I sometimes don't get some of the hatred it gets from people, but overall, I think mostly people like it. Sure, it's a pretty simple story, but you know, the amazing thing about James Cameron is, and I was thinking about this and actually read someone else said this, is Cameron, what Cameron does great is he world builds, whether it's the Terminator films or even The Abyss or his Aliens film. So he pulls you into this world and you believe in it. And that's what Avatar does. It pulls you into this world that you believe in it. Whether the story is simple or not, he's a storyteller. Just like the movie we did today, Shawshank Redemption, is a great story. And James Cameron's a storyteller, and that's what Avatar does. It tells you a great story that, sure, you can pull back and say, oh, that's a simple story. It's really not that fancy. But it's really well done. And it's really well executed. And I saw Avatar, I'm pretty sure I saw it twice when it came out in theaters back, you know, in 2008 or whatever it was, and enjoyed the hell of it, you know. I don't know if I'll go see the new one in 3D because I'm kind of past the 3D effects, but I will see the new one. And, but we'll talk the original Avatar next week on the show and revisit it after, it's been out for a while. So, but,
yeah.
Anything to say about Avatar? Really?
No, it's a fun movie. You got Sigourney Weaver, you got Sam Worthington. So we got that going for us.
It's available on Disney Plus.
It's available on Disney.
So, but that's next week's show. Until then, the Rebel Radio Podcast.com for all your Rebel Radio needs. And we're on all social media platforms and all apps for listening to your podcast, which is pretty fucking cool. Easy to find us on your drive to work or your coffee break or whatever. You know, we appreciate you as always for listening. And this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
Remember, as always, just go there and do it.
Go there and do it.